May we all bow our heads and invite our Lord in our midst. Holy, loving, and merciful Father in heaven above, we pause for a moment to give thee thanks, honor, and glory, and to ask thee, Heavenly Father, to be in our midst, to be our guide, guide our thoughts in our heart, Father, and give us words of wisdom that we would be able to proclaim thy holy and most precious word. Open our hearts, our ears, O Father, that we would be able gladly to receive thy word and that we would meditate upon it and live by it. We ask all this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. With the help of God, for this blessed morning hour, let us find and read together from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, from chapter 15, and may we begin on verse number 21. St. Matthew, chapter 15, beginning on verse 21 until the end. Ljubazni Bogu na hvalu I na čast. Želim da nađemo I da čitamo iz Svetog Evanđelja po Mateju iz 15. glave, a početak da bude na 21. stihu I tako do kraja. Sveto Evanđelje po Mateju, 15. glava, 21. stih. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat up the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified God, the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness, as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, Seven, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat all, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. Psalm 42 says, as the hart or deer panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul also for thee. I'm sure we all seen the deer come to the water, to the creek, to drink water, to be refreshed, to receive the strength. It's a beautiful sight. We also, as believers, we gladly come to hear God's word. We come to the fountain of love, fountain of grace, fountain of wisdom, to receive God's mercy. And we need to drink from that water, not just gargle. We need to drink from the fountain of love to receive the strength, wisdom, faith, love, all the things that we need so that we can prosper in faith, so that we can be faithful unto God. This portion of the chapter that we read together, it's a lengthy chapter, so I just wanted to concentrate more on the second half. It says that Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, he was at another city by Sea of Galilee. I think he was at Gennesaret. So from that place where he was, to go to Tyre and Sidon, it was about 35 miles. Now, we read a lot where Jesus went from one place to another. I never thought much about it. He went from one place to another. 35 miles walking. I think we all walk as a normal pace, perhaps 3 to 4 miles per hour. So it would take about 11 to 12 hours to walk from the place where he was to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Sidon was a little bit more north, perhaps about 70 miles. But the beginning of this chapter 15, it says the Pharisees and scribes came and they were troubling him, constantly bothering him, trying to accuse him, find some faults where they would be able to accuse him. And it seemed like he had enough of them and he needed to depart, to go and hide somewhere. Mark writes that when he went to Tyre, that he went to the house. He wanted to hide himself, but he couldn't hide. People were constantly looking for him, which was good. They were seeking him, some for a wrong reason. Like the Pharisees, they came from Jerusalem. They were following him. And they were asking Jesus, why are the disciples disciples transgress the tradition of elders? They don't wash their hands when they eat bread. That was a big thing for them. And Jesus knew their hearts and their minds and their craftiness. He says, so why do you transgress the commandment, not the tradition, commandment of God to keep your tradition? Anyway, he called them hypocrites, and we heard a lot about Pharisees at the Bible study. So he departed, and he went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and says, behold, a woman of Canaan. She was a Greek or Gentile, Syrophoenician from that region. And we know the Canaanites, they were cursed people. Noah actually cursed Canaan. She came out, she found out that he was there in the house, and she most likely heard of his fame and of his goodness and his mercy and grace. She knew who he was. It says that cried unto him, saying, that doesn't mean she was crying, weeping, but begging him. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She knew exactly his lineage, where he came from, and who he was. My daughter is grievously, sadly troubled with the devil, or tormented. She had a need for her daughter. I don't know if I can imagine someone being tormented by a devil. We know that a lot of people listen to the devil, the worldly people do, but to be tormented, to have the constant torture in your mind and your body, and the, for a parent to see this and live with it every single day. There was no cure. Who do you go to? Doctors? Physicians? To be cured? So she knew about Jesus. She knew about his compassion, his love, his power, authority. So she came up to him and cried unto him. He did not say anything. He ignored her. And then disciples, she didn't just cry out one time. She kept on going after him. Disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. Get rid of her, for she cried after us. They were annoyed by her cry, by her begging Jesus. She was a Canaan woman, Gentile. Send her away. Kind of like when the children came, people brought children unto Jesus. The disciples said the same thing. Send these children away. They're bothering our master. And he rebuked them. For such is the kingdom of heaven. Bring the little children to me. So when the disciples said, send her away, he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. First he ignores her, then he says, I am only sent to the lost sheep of Israel, not the Gentiles. Anyone that was not Hebrew or Israelite was a Gentile. So now he, again, rejects her. We know when Jesus chose the 12 disciples, he said unto them, go only to the lost sheep of Israel. Do not go into the Samaritan village or in the way of Gentiles. Only to the lost sheep of Israel. The salvation is of the Jews. Even Apostle Paul, who was chosen to be the apostle for Gentiles, first he went to the Jews. After they rejected him, he even tried. He was originally a Pharisee. He was one of them. He tried to talk to them, and he couldn't get through them, to many of them. Then he went into the Gentiles. Now, this woman being ignored, she could have walked away. You know, when we say something to someone and they ignore us, we get hurt. I do. You're saying something and people just ignore you. You figure, well, they don't want to talk to me. They don't like me. You walk away. Not this woman. She was very, very persistent. So he ignores her. Then he says, I am not sent unto the lost, but unto the lost sheep of Israel. You're not Israelite. What do I have to do with you? But she came and she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. In Mark, it says that she kneeled down right in front of him. She humbled herself right in front of, right by his feet. So she kept on going. She did not give up. Very, very strong faith. She knew that he can heal her. He was the only one. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Only one that can heal her. She had no, in her mind, she had no other choice. And she would not give up. And here she's being rejected. So she said, Lord, help me. Now, he says something that most of us would not even hear. We would walk away after the second saying of Jesus. It is not me to take the children's bread, God's people, and cast it to dogs. Now, in this word dogs here, in this passage, doesn't mean the, usually when we read about dogs, it's the wild dogs, the vicious dogs that have no master. Not the house pets. But in this case, it means like a puppy, domestic dog. Either way, he called her a dog. It's not me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. What did she say? Did she get offended? Would we get offended? Most likely. I know I would. Someone calls me a dog, even if they call me a puppy or a domestic dog, still. But her faith was so strong, and she said, truth, yes, yes, Lord, yeah, that is true. But yet the dogs eat up the crumbs which fall from their master's table. It's not the leftovers. The children would eat, and whatever's left over, you give it to the dogs, to the servants, or whoever. But she said, they eat from the crumbs that fall. So she humbled herself so low. She admitted, yes, I'm a dog. I'm a Gentile. I'm not worthy to receive anything. I'm a cursed nation. I can be a dog. I can be under the table. And I can eat the crumbs, but I want the crumbs. So she agrees with him. She doesn't matter what Jesus says to her. Three times he ignores her or tells her things that so that she could go away. Of course, he did not want her to go away. He was testing her faith. Now, Jesus answered and said unto her, now he does not call her dog. He calls her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Strong, powerful. How many people have this kind of a faith? This is the kind of faith we need to have, the strong, strong faith, where we do not give up. You know the story of the unjust judge, where that woman came to him and she said, revenge me of my adversary, or help me out. Avenge me, not revenge me. And he would not. He did not fear God, did not regard man, he did not care. But she kept on begging him, crying unto him, bothering him, if you will. And he wouldn't, but he had enough. He says, just because she bothers me so much. Let me read it so I won't quote it the wrong way. Yeah, Luke 18. Jesus spoke a parable to them. How men are always ought to pray and not to faint. He said, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me continuously, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And then God says, you hear what the unjust judge said? And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? We cry unto him day and night. He will avenge us speedily. Now, many times when we pray to God for something, we don't hear an answer. Kind of like Jesus here, when she cried unto him, he ignored her. She didn't hear anything from him. He didn't say a word to her. Did that mean he didn't care? He did not want to help her? Did that mean he did not hear her? No. Just like when we pray and we don't hear the answer, that doesn't mean God doesn't care. In due time, he answers us. But we as humans, we want it now. I do. When I pray for something, I pray because I need it. I want it. I think I need it now. But God knows what I need and when I need and what I will get. Many times we pray for one thing and we get something else. Many times we do not even realize that we get even better than what we ask for. So this woman, when he told her this, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Now, she didn't ask him, can you come with me to make sure? Can you touch her? Can you say something to get that devil out of her? Again, in many cases we see, last Sunday we read about the man that believed, a nobleman, believed at his word, and he went away. She went home, and it says in Mark that she found her daughter being whole in her bed. No more devil. Can you imagine the joy that she had? Perhaps the daughter did not know any better. I'm not sure when that happened to her. Maybe she thought that that's how she will live, being vexed or troubled by the devil. But the mother, to see the pain, the agony on her daughter continuously, day after day. So there must have been a great, great joy. Did we have joy? We were possessed by devil, perhaps not as this young girl, vexed with the devil, but we had devil within us too. We were following him. We were listening to him until Jesus came into our heart. There is no room for a devil and Jesus in our heart. We cannot serve both. We cannot serve the world and God. Not possible. One or the other. There's so many people who say, I don't kill, I don't steal, I have never committed adultery or fornication. But if you do not have the Spirit in your heart, you are not His. You have to be baptized, my dear friends, with water, Spirit, and fire. Remember the young man, the rich man that came? He asked Jesus, what good master, what do I need to do to have salvation, to inherit everlasting life? Well, how do you read the commandments? Do not kill, do not steal. I have done all of them. I've done them all. He probably felt happy. Oh, I'm done. I finished every one of them. I did it all, every commandment. I followed it completely. That's it. I'm ready. Sure. You want to be perfect? Get rid of everything and follow me. Oh, that's a little bit different now. Apostle Paul writes, if we do all the commandments and yet we fail in one, we are guilty of all. So we need to follow God's commandments completely. Get rid of everything and take up our cross on our back and follow him. So he continues on. It says that Jesus departed from there. He came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. And now he's walking back another 35 miles or so. Again, long distance, perhaps 12 hours of walking. They did not have the shoes that we have. We have hiking shoes, good tennis shoes. The more expensive, the better, comfortable, cushion around it. And so many times we walk and we get tired. We need to sit. I'm sure they sit down too, but they were wearing sandals out of leather. There's no cushion around it. Dirt roads. There were no places to stop and get something to drink. But they walked. Even these disciples walked with them. They went. So there was a reason why he departed from this place, Gennesaret, onto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. For that one woman and her plea. If he wasn't there, maybe she wouldn't be able to find him anywhere. But she heard that he was there. He was trying to hide. It says in Mark that He entered into an house, I'm not sure whose house it was, and he would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For the certain woman who had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. So he comes back to the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. Great multitudes, many people followed him. And he says, many of them that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, crippled, and many others, all manner of sicknesses. They all came. And Jesus healed them all. Why? Because he has compassion on people. Because he's full of love. He's merciful. He's kind. Now, when we were in the world, were we lamed and blind and dumb? And yes, we were. Some more, some less, but we all were. We were all lost. We had no direction. We couldn't walk, not on the straight and narrow way. We couldn't see. We couldn't hear. But we cried unto the Lord too, and he heard us. Perhaps not right away, but he heard us. You know, there's a Psalm 38, it says, when our Savior seems asleep, let me just read it so I don't quote it wrong. So sometimes he seems like he's not hearing us. The second verse, it says, when thy Savior seems asleep, heedless of their angry sweep, Zion own him still as master. He will save thee from disaster. He will, and he does. But let's make sure that we have patience. And my dear friends, when you cry unto God, be persistent. Do not give up, as this woman. Do not give up. Keep on crying. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Those that seek, they will find it. Those that knock, it will be answered unto them. Sooner or later, it will be. So keep on. Be persistent. Do not give up. As this great multitude came unto him, bringing those that were sick and ill, and he healed them all. Those that wanted to be healed were healed. Those that did not want to or did not believe, they didn't. You have to believe. If you don't believe, you can't be healed. You can't. Not possible. You have to believe. That's the reason this daughter was healed, because of her mom's strong faith. It says, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak and maimed to be whole, lame to walk, and the blind to see. I mean, we know a lot of people that are crippled. And can you imagine if we would see him one day, just all of a sudden walking normally? We would be wondering too. We would be amazed. But Jesus, in those days, he healed. He did many miracles for people to see. Many did not believe. They couldn't believe just his words. Even disciples, they were with him constantly. They seen so many miracles. Even God gave him power and authority to heal. And still, they doubted many times. When Jesus came, I think it's in this chapter. Anyway, I just read it this morning. When they were at the ship and Jesus came to them walking on the sea, and they saw him, they thought he was a spirit. Who walks on top of the water? Nobody. So Peter says, if you are Christ, tell me to walk. Now he's kind of doubting. Who else was able to walk on top of the water? But if you are Christ, tell me to walk. He says, come. So he did. He's walking on top of the water. Then he saw the wind, felt the wind, and now he got scared. Now he put his eyes up, Lord, for a moment. As soon as you take your eyes up, God, you go down. All of a sudden, he got afraid. He started sinking because he took his eyes up, Lord. He lost the faith for a moment. And then Jesus rebuked him, "Oh, you little faith." So even his disciples, every time they would see miracles, they believed, and yet they needed more. They needed more. So the second part of the chapter, as they all came to be healed, and he said there was a great multitude, and Jesus said, "I have compassion on this great multitude because they were with me for 3 days now, and I have nothing. They have nothing to eat, but I cannot send them away, being so weak, 3 days without eating. I have never tried not to eat for 3 days, not even for a day. We get so hungry and frustrated and anxious, we need to eat and drink." 3 days they were with him. And the disciples said, "Where can we buy so much bread? In the wilderness? Where do you buy bread? You can't." And Jesus said, "Well, how many loaves do you have?" "Oh, just seven and a few little fishes, small. I don't know how many, a few." And then he commanded them to sit down, and he did not just give him from the bread. He first thanked God. He asked for a blessing. When we thank our God, when we pray unto him, when we ask for a blessing, things multiply. We receive great, great goodness from God. But we need to pray to him and thank him. Thank him for what we have. Then God will give us even more. So he gave thanks and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and disciples to the multitude. It says in this chapter there was 4,000 men beside women and children. The other instance was 5,000 men. Even if it was 50 people, how many? 7 loaves of bread? How big is a loaf of bread? If we look at it literally, you couldn't feed. I mean, he said that they were full, not that just that they had a few crumbs and it was okay. They were full. And because of the blessing, he said that took how many baskets? 7 baskets. Full. Full. Pressed. Overflowing. It's interesting that this already happened once with the disciples, where they saw that Jesus fed 5,000 people, and yet they still did not understand. When he told them to be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees, right away they were thinking, "Oh, it's because we didn't bring bread." So he asked him, "How many loaves did you fill up when I fed the 4,000? And they said, 7. And how many loaves did you, or how many baskets did you fill up when I fed 5,000? And I'm not sure what how many they filled up. I can find it, but anyway, he reminded them. He was telling them to be careful of the Pharisees, not the leaven, the bread, but their doctrine. It was Paul's doctrine. Pharisees knew the law, but they did not know Christ. They did not know mercy, love, and faith. They did not know that. And that's what Jesus is all about. Grace, love, mercy, compassion, pity. He's feeding us too with the manna that comes from above. There's a song, I think it's the second verse, it says, "Neighbors are kind. I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord." That's nice. We do. "But when my soul needs the manna from above, where can I go but to the Lord?" You need the manna? You need the food? Your neighbors cannot help you. The true manna comes only from God, the living God, the true God, the merciful God. And we all need it. Every single day. You know, if we don't eat or drink, what does it mean? What happens to us, I should say? Do we die right away? No, we don't die right away. So let's say we don't eat for a week. Will we die? Probably not. But what will happen? We'll get weak. Spiritually, same thing. If we don't read one day from the Bible, or a week, we don't read at all, we won't die spiritually, Brad, but we'll get weak. Same thing is in the physical sense. We get really weak. We don't eat for many weeks. We get so weak that with illnesses, anything that comes our way, it will destroy us. In spiritual sense, same thing. We start getting weak. And then when Satan, when Satan comes, he does come every single day. He comes to me, to you, to everybody. When he comes, we're so weak, we cannot run, we're weak. We cannot pick up the shield to defend ourselves, let alone the sword. How are we going to fight Satan if we are weak? We're done. To be strong in faith, we need to drink, like I said, not gargle water, drink from the living fountain and need the spiritual manna that comes only from above, from the Father of love. He's the one that can satisfy our souls and our heart. Then we can be strong. Then we can be victorious. We need to be victorious over Satan, not just fight him and say, yeah, I was able to protect myself with the shield and I had the helmet of salvation. I'm ready to protect. That's good. We need to protect, but we need to win the battle. We need to win him. We need to have the sword so that we can win the battle. Mortify ourselves. Kill. We need to kill the enemy. Like David killed Goliath. He didn't just defend himself from him. How far would that go if you just defend yourself? You get so weak, you can't continue defending yourself. You have to win. You have to overcome the enemy. And our greatest enemy is who? Ourselves. That's the greatest enemy. We have to fight ourselves. Because Satan comes and he puts all these things in our heart. All the evil things. And sometimes we accept things. So we have to fight our own self. Jesus said that we have to take our own cross and put it on our back and follow him. Something that's heavy, a burden. It's not easy walking on the narrow pathway, but we know where it leads to. It leads to everlasting life. And to our Heavenly Father may be all the glory, the honor, both now and forever. Amen.
He provided for the Canaanite woman. He provided for those in Galilee that were blind, dumb, maimed, lame, and many others. And he provided for that multitude that had been with him for 3 days and didn't eat. It was Jesus Christ that provides, that provided, and yet it is he that provides for us in this day. It is not we of ourselves that can provide for ourselves. Our very breath is in his hands. It is not our abilities that provides for ourselves. It is not who we know that provides for us. It is not who we are as a race, a privileged race, that provides for us. It is Jesus Christ. He's the one that provides. He provided for them in that time, and he provides for us. We only look to him. And so the Bible exhorts us that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Let's look to the Lord always, that he would be our provider, that he would bless our lives, that he would give us day by day that which we have need of. He will do that, and he does it above that which we ask. May we give him all glory and all praise and thanksgiving from our hearts when he does provide for us. Amen.